بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين أما بعد. الحمد لله, my respected brothers and elders. We were going through, last week we finished and we completed the life of Sayyidina Uthman رضي الله عنه. Obviously it's not a lot of detail, but inshallah it's enough for us to understand who this person was and the main qualities that he possessed and why he was so special in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and in the eyes of Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and why it's very important for us as Muslims to have love of these people and these elders. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions in a hadith, Al-mar'u ma'a man ahabba. On the day of judgment, Allah ta'ala will raise a person with those people that he loved. So obviously a person has a natural love for their family members, their relatives, their children, their wives, their, you know, kind of parents, etc. But a person has to have a deeper love and a deeper connection with those who are the chosen servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Starting with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions, لا يؤمن أحدكم حتى أكون أحب إليه من والده وولده والناس أجمعين. None of you is a true believer until I am more beloved to him than himself, his family members, and the entirety of mankind. Rasulullah has to be more beloved to us than ourselves, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then after that, the close sahaba of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the pious ulama of the, you know, the pious servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, have to have a very special place in our heart. And it's from one of the biggest problems of this day and age that people feel we don't need the pious people anymore. We don't need the scholars, we don't need, you know, to the extent that people are criticizing the Sahaba. There was a time when people would criticize others, but they wouldn't talk about the Sahaba. Because Sahaba, you'd think, you know, if you're criticizing Sahaba, it's like you're criticizing Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But now people's mouths are so loose, their tongues are so loose, they even criticize the Sahaba. There's a person who's very famous in Pakistan now, mashallah, on YouTube, and he's, you know, he delivers his talks, and a lot of people are listening to him, and he sits there very confidently. He's not a scholar, he's not an alim, but he sits there very confidently criticizing this sahabi and saying this sahabi made this mistake, that sahabi made that mistake, you know, and especially when it comes to the differences between the sahaba. There were these very difficult times, which were known as the mushajaratu sahaba, the issues that sahaba had amongst themselves. Especially after Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam passed away, in the time of Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu anhu, Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu, and the time after that, there were many sahaba who were on two sides. So now for me to say 1,400 years later, for, you know, 1,450 years later, that I think he was right and I think he was wrong and he made this mistake and he made that mistake, it's not my place to say that. And by saying that, I am, you know, I will be answerable to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's very important to have the respect for the Sahaba in our hearts. So this is why we have this series, inshallah. So today we start the life of Sayyidina Ali ibn Abi Talib, karramallahu wajhahu, radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. So Sayyidina Ali ibn Abi Talib, radiyallahu anhu, his father's name was Abu Talib. Ali, his name was Ali, his father's name was Abu Talib. And his grandfather's name was Abdul Muttalib, and his great-grandfather's name was Hashim. So he was the direct cousin, first cousin of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and his father was the direct uncle of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Similarly, Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu, his mother, her name was Fatima, and she was the daughter of Asad, who was one of the daughters of Hashim. So his mother, Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu's mother, she was the granddaughter of Hashim, and Abu Talib, the father of Ali radiallahu anhu, was also the grandson of Hashim. So Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu's father and mother both shared the same grandfather. So this is why they were very close. You could say they were family. Therefore, Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu is known as the first Hashimi born from two Hashimis. His father was a child of Hashim and his mother was also a grandchild of Hashim. Okay, so he mentions that his father didn't become a Muslim. Abu Talib, the uncle of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, was so close to Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam that the day he passed away was such a difficult day, and the whole year Because the death of Abu Talib was so burdensome, so heavy upon Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the entire year became called Al-Amul Huzan, the year of sorrow, the year of grief. Because in that year Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam lost the two most beloved people to him. First one was Sayyidina Abu Talib, and second one was Sayyidatuna Khadija radiallahu anha. They both passed away in the same year. And when Abu Talib passed away, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was so upset because he didn't become Muslim. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, if I have to do dua to Allah Ta'ala 70 times and then Allah Ta'ala forgives him, I will do dua. The Arabs would use 70 as an exaggeration term, meaning Rasulullah is saying, it doesn't matter how many times I have to ask Allah for hidayat for my uncle, I will do it if Allah will give him hidayat. Then Allah Ta'ala mentioned in the Quran, إِنَّكَ لَا تَهْدِي مَنْ أَحْبَبْتَ وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهِ يَهْدِي مَنْ يَشَاءُ. O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you cannot give hidayat and guidance to whom you want. Allah gives hidayat to whom He wills. Even though he was so close to you, and even though he treated you like a son for your whole life, but still, hidayat is in the hands of Allah. This is the property of Allah, the gift of Allah. He distributes it as he wishes, to who he wishes. So Abu Talib did not become Muslim. However, the wife of Abu Talib, Sayyidatuna Fatima radiallahu anha, she became Muslim. The mother of Ali radiallahu anhu, she became a Muslim, and he mentions Aslamat. Wahajarat ila al-Madinah. She migrated to Medina and she passed away in the lifetime of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was one of the people who carried her into her grave as well. So she was obviously a very special lady. And he mentions that his kunniyah, as we mentioned before, that the Arabs, they would have a name, but they would also have a kunniya. Kunniya is a title that everybody would address them by. So Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu had two kunniyas, two titles. First one was Abu al-Hasan, the father of Hassan, because out of his two sons, Hassan and Hussein, Hassan was the eldest son, so he was called Abu al-Hasan. But he had another kunniya, another title, which was Abu Turab. Abu Turab. Turab means soil in Arabic. So Abu Turab, you might think, why would he be called Abu Turab, the father of soil? Reason for that was once because Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu was lying down in the masjid. And obviously the masjid of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it didn't have carpet, it was just earth, it was soil. And when Ali radiallahu anhu was lying there and his hair became covered in soil, his back there was dust and soil all over it, and he was sleeping. And somebody came and they were trying to wake him up. And they said, wake up, O Abu Turab, wake up, O Abu Turab. So he looked up to see who it was, and it was Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So from then on, Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu used to say to everyone, don't call me Abu al-Hasan, call me Abu Turab. And he would love that people would call him Abu Turab. Because Rasulullah, this is the words that came from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, blessed mouth. What did it mean? Does it have any meaning? Is it important? We don't care. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam addressed me with these words. I want everyone to address me with these words. So he mentions, وَكَانَتْ أَحَبَّ مَا يُنَادَ بِهِ لِي. And these were the most favorite words that you could call him with. He would love it. He'd become so happy if you said, oh Abu Turab. If you call Ali radiallahu anhu by saying, oh Abu Turab, he'd become so happy because he'd remember Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he mentions that وَهُوَ أَخُو رَسُولِ اللَّهِ sallallahu alayhi wa sallam بِالْمُؤَاخَاتِ. He became the brother of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Twice Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made him his brother. He was already the cousin brother of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But when Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was twice in the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he made brothers amongst the Sahaba, once in Makkah and once in Medina. In Makkah, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, because there's so few Sahaba in Makkah, so few companions, Rasulullah said, you are the brother of him, you are the brother of him. And he just made brothers between different Sahaba, saying that you must always be there to help him, to look after him. Whenever he needs you, you must be there. So two different Sahaba from different households, different families, he'd just say, you're brothers. He did this once in Makkah, and they went to Medina to strengthen the relationship between the Sahaba of Makkah and Sahaba of Medina. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam took one Sahabi from Makkah, one from Medina, and said, you are brothers. So twice he did this. So when he made the brothers in Makkah, he said to Ali, oh Ali, you are my brother. And there are this amazing incidents. These narrations will come later. These are a few facts that they're mentioning first. وَصَحَرَهُ عَلَى فَاطِمَةَ سَيِّدَةِ نِسَاءِ الْعَالَمِينَ. And Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made him his son-in-law. And he married him, he gave his hand in marriage to Sayyidatuna Fatima radiallahu anha, who is the leader of all the women in the world. Greatest of all the women. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, so many hadith. And I mentioned this when we did the talk about Isa alayhi salam. And we talked about Isa alayhi salam's mother Maryam. And we mentioned there that so many ahadith we find where Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentions that four women are the best of women in this dunya and in Jannah. They are the leaders of the women in Jannah. Khadija, he starts with Asiya, the wife of Fir'aun, radiallahu anha, and then Maryam, the mother of Isa alayhi salam, and then Khadija radiallahu anha, the wife of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi salam, and the fourth is Fatima, the daughter of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi salam. These are the four greatest women in this dunya and the hereafter, to the extent that in one hadith Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi salam said that many men, there were many chosen men, servants of Allah, who became perfect, who went to that very high level of wilayat, of sainthood, of friendship with Allah. But he said not many women managed to reach that level, that very high level. He said only four women reached the highest level of wilayat, highest level of sainthood. And he mentioned these four women: Asiya, Maryam, Khadija, and Fatima radiallahu anha. And who did he give his beloved daughter Fatima in marriage to? Sayyiduna Ali radiallahu anhu. And he mentions that wa Abu Sibtain, Ali radiallahu anhu is the father of the Sibtain. Sibt means grandson. He's the father of the two grand sons of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the two most dear children to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Hassan and Hussein. And every time the Sahaba would mention Hassan and Hussein, they would start crying, because whenever they would look at the face of Hassan and Hussein, they would always remember how Rasulullah would play with them sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So even the senior Sahaba, the elder Sahaba, whenever Hassan and Hussein are now grown up, when they would come in the presence of the senior Sahaba, the tears would come to the senior Sahaba's eyes. They would say, "We remember how Hassan was climbing on the back of Rasulullah. Rasulullah is in namaz sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He's in sajda. Hassan climbs on the back of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Rasulullah stays in sajda. He stays in sajda till he's finished, until the child comes off his back. Only then does he come up from sajda." So many times, when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is giving khutbah, and he sees Hussein come running towards him, and he stops his khutbah, and he carries him whilst he's giving the khutbah of Jumu'ah. He had so much muhabbat and so much love for these two boys, and their father was none other than Sayyiduna Ali radiallahu anhu. And then he mentions that وَأَوَّلُ هَاشِمِيٍ وُلِدَ بَيْنَ هَاشِمِيِّينَ. And he was the first Hashimi to be born from two Hashimis. His father was a Hashimi and his mother was a Hashimi. And he's the first Khalifa from the Banu Hashim. He's the first Khalifa from the children of Hashim, obviously after Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And he is the one of the 10 Sahaba who Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave glad tidings of Jannah to in this world. And he is one of the 6 people that Umar radiallahu anhu made as the Shura. We mentioned this last time when Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu was passing away. He made 10 people the Shura. That after I pass away, 6 people. One of these 6 people should be the Khalifa after me, and one of them was Ali radiallahu anhu. وَأَحَدُ الْخُلَفَاءِ الرَّاشِدِينَ. He was one of the 4 rightly guided khalifs, representatives of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. وَأَحَدُ الْعُلَمَاءِ الرَّبَّانِيِّينَ. He was one of the great ulama of Islam. And we'll come to this later. وَالشُّجَعَانَ الْمَشْهُودِينَ. He was one of the most courageous, bravest of the Muslims. And if you hear the stories of Ali radiallahu anhu, you imagine this really old, mature man, you know, very strong, and mashallah, maybe big beard, and you imagine this because of the way the stories, because of the way the ulama have described him. But in reality, all of the kind of heroics that Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu did, and all his heroism, actually happened in his early 20s. He was a very young man, and he used to take on, he didn't care who was in front of him. Some of the stories will make you shocked. When someone would come and say, "I am the strongest of all people," Ali is always there to challenge him. He doesn't care. He was a very skinny person. He wasn't big. Ali was very skinny. He was very thin. He was just, you know, normal kind of size. And he would take on the most strongest people without even thinking. Inshallah, we'll come later to when Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam first announced Islam, and he called all of his family members. Allah Ta'ala said in the Quran, وَأَنْذِرْ عَشِيرَتَكَ الْأَقْرَبِينَ. O Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, first initially when the da'wat came, the message was supposed to be silent, quiet. Rasulullah would only spread the message to people who he thought would accept, good people. But later Allah Ta'ala said, وَأَنْذِرْ عَشِيرَتَكَ الْأَقْرَبِينَ. O Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, now is the time to slowly pass this message to your family members. So Rasulullah called all his family sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He had a big family and he invited them to a meal, and he fed them the meal, and after he fed them, he stood up and he said, "I have been sent as a messenger of Allah. Who will accept me and who will help me?" Nobody stood up. Who stood up? Ali radiallahu anhu. He said, "O Muhammad, O my cousin sallallahu alaihi wasallam, I will always help you. I will always be there for you." And you know the other people did? They all laughed. They all laughed. This child, They laughed, they mocked Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that nobody is there to help you except for this young boy. But Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did dua for him there and then. And Allah ta'ala made some of the greatest achievements of Islam happen at the hand of this child. Some of the greatest victories, which will come later inshallah. I'll mention a few more virtues. I don't like making these sessions very long, so I don't want people to get bored of them. وَقَدْ اِخْتَلَفَ الْعُلَمَاءُ فِي أَوْجِهِ. And then he mentions that who, you know, the four people, the four Sahaba who were the first to embrace Islam. Some ulama have mentioned the first person to become Muslim was Khadija. Some have mentioned it was Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. Some have mentioned it was Ali. Some have mentioned it was Zayd. The best opinion is that Imam Abu Hanifa rahimahullah mentions, he says that it's best to say that out of the men, the first person to become a Muslim was Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. Out of the women, it was Khadija radiallahu anha. Out of the children, it was Ali radiallahu anhu. And out of the slaves, it was Zayd ibn Haritha radiallahu anhu. So these were the four Sahaba who were first to embrace Islam. And he mentions that Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu, he did hijrah towards Medina, he migrated towards Medina. And even before Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam migrated towards Medina, this is one of the virtues of Sayyidina Ali. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told Ali, "Oh Ali, you will do hijrah later. But first, I want you to fulfill all of the amanat, all of the responsibilities that I have." Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in that time, they didn't have a banking system. There was no bank. So if you had something which was priceless, something which was very precious, and you wanted someone to look after it, you had to find an amanatdar person, a trustworthy person. And you would give that to that person and say, "You look after it for me." Because there's no banks. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, even though the Quraysh hated him, even though they hated him because he'd come with a religion that they didn't accept, still he was so trustworthy in their eyes that he would all give their precious things to Rasulullah to look after, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it's time for him now to do hijrat and migrate to Medina, he needs to return all of these items to them. Well, if he goes and starts giving them out, what's going to happen? People are going to know he's doing hijrat. Why is he coming to us and giving all our things back? He's obviously planning to leave. So that would be a bad idea. So what Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to Ali, he said, "Oh Ali, first thing was you stay on my bed, you sleep on my bed." And at that moment in time, if everyone remembers the story, this again shows the courage of Ali radiallahu anhu. Rasulullah's house is surrounded by men with swords. And they're planning, as soon as Muhammad comes out of the house, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we will attack him and we will kill him. So Rasulullah said, "Oh Ali radiallahu anhu, don't worry, you sleep in my bed tonight. And I will leave, you sleep in my bed. And remember, in the morning, I have this item that belongs to this person, this item that belongs to this person. Make sure you return all of these items back to them, and then you can come and join me in Medina." Ali straight away says, "Ya Rasulullah, whatever you say." Not even considering there are armed men outside ready to harm the person who is living in this house. And then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam leaves and he goes, and the famous hadith is there that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam goes and these murderers are waiting, that these assassins with their swords to attack him. And he takes some dust and he says, فَأَخْشَيْنَاهُمْ فَهُمْ لَا يُبْصِرُونَ. He says the verse of the Quran, he blows in the dust and he throws it towards them. And these people, they don't become blind, but they cannot see that Rasulullah has walked out in front of them and left. This was obviously a miracle of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So in the morning, these people are thinking, "Muhammad, it's been so long, he's not come out of his house." So they actually went into the house. And they went and they removed the bed covers and they see that Ali radiallahu anhu is lying there. So Ali was ready to put himself in this position, not concerned at all about the harm that could befall him. Inshallah, what we'll do, we'll carry on with the life of Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu next week. Allah Ta'ala give us the ability to understand who these pious predecessors of ours were. Allah Ta'ala allow us to follow in their footsteps. Amin ya Rabbil Alameen. Subhanallah, bihamdi, subhanakallahu bihamdik. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.